We want to ask God's blessing upon the word as we approach if the Lord will let us into a new subject, a new area. We have been for months into the, since November of last year, we have been into the, everlasting love of God. And it's not finished because you can never finish it, but we're going to go at it at another handle. And we would, we will be speaking quite a bit about the heart of a man. About the conditions, the state of a man, his heart, and the chief part of a man, which is the heart or the soul of a man, where dwell understanding, a wise heart, a understanding heart that can know God, a heart to know God, a heart to love God, a heart to fear God, and a heart that will obey God, respect the word of God. And we'll be covering, as the Lord allows us, the Holy Spirit to go into these areas. The Bible has a lot to say about the heart of a man. And we need to know about this heart. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, it gives us an insight of the heart of a man. It explains it very clearly what it is. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, and let me start at verse, I'd like to start at verse 7, Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. If you have your Bibles, you can look there, and we start off very slow that we pick up and you'll begin to understand more. It says, verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." This man is blessed when your heart is trusting in God. "And whose hope the Lord is." You trust in him, and he is your hope. And of course, Psalms 1 and also Revelations 22. Psalms 1 tell you that this man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So in verse 8 says, we can read it, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the water." See, Psalms 1, remember I just mentioned that, and Jeremiah also, verse 8, 17 verse 8 says, For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh," time of drought, heat, no rain, "but her leaf also, or her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruits," even in the time of drought, when everything else is dried up round about you, nothing is happening, nobody else is seemingly getting blessed, but you're bringing forth fruit. Amen. Verse 9, read this, powerful. "The heart is deceitful above all things." Amen. Right there, you shouldn't question. You should not trust it. because God is wiser than us. It tells us that your heart, not somebody else, yours, the heart is deceitful. Your heart will fool you above all things. And not only that, but desperately wicked. Your heart will destroy you. Because, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. All of those evil works that you can find comes out of the heart. And he says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you cannot just trust your heart. It will deceive you. And that's why David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew an excellent, a right spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. So it says, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That word desperately, you have a little number? Notice here, desperately, but it is incurable. Incurably, right? Sick. Focus on that just a little bit. The heart is deceitful above all things. Anything you can think of, your heart is worse than that. And every one of us got one of that inside of us. That's one of the chief main organ. But it's deceitful above all things. Think. Above all things and desperately wicked. Then he goes on and he says, incurably sick. It cannot be cured. Now, if you have something inside of you that cannot be cured, no surgery, nothing you can do that can make it better. Think of it. But he's so good, he has a good heart. Oh, well, we can be good naturally. But towards God, we're wicked. Okay? There's nothing that you and I can do to improve on our heart for it to be good enough for God to accept it. Nothing. Incurable. That natural heart that you have cannot love God. And that's why David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. What David was praying for is that David wanted a new creation. Create in me another heart, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, an excellent spirit within me. Because this one that I have is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Nobody understand or know their heart. Only God. God knows your heart. You and I without God don't even know what we would do. Amen. We don't know what we'll do. Because it's wicked above all things. Incurable and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we found out that only God knows the heart of man. Yeah. Man doesn't know. Yeah. You don't know. Your heart will deceive you. That's why you cannot follow it. Because what comes out of the natural man, his heart, is evil imagination, evil continually. Genesis 6 tells us that the imagination of the thoughts of our heart is only evil continually. Now, if no one can understand their heart, that means God has to give us a new heart. He has to create. So in Psalms, the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms, and David was praying, Psalms 51, start at verse 1, says, what does he say in verse 1? Notice how David went about it. He said, have mercy upon me. Mercy. Mercy. Because my heart has no mercy in me. My heart is out to destroy me, to bring us down in rebellion to God. He said, have mercy in me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Then the next verse says, wash me. Notice, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. Now, how does God do that? I think Titus tells us by the washing of the water, by the word, by the washing of regeneration. And the renewing of an excellent spirit, a right spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay, what is he washing you from? Hold your fingers there, but go to Isaiah. I'll come back there. But in Isaiah, the first chapter also, when God was calling the children of Israel to repentance. But look in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. And you remember what it says, wash me in Psalms 51 verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Now Isaiah says, chapter 1, where he says, wash me. Verse 16, that's it. The same thing. It's a washing. Wash me from all of my sins. And how does he wash us? He used the Holy Spirit to wash us, to apply the blood. The eternal Spirit applies the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Holy Spirit of God applies the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he washes us, we're whiter than snow. So Isaiah says, verse 16, wash you. And also Revelation, the seventh chapter says, and they wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they made them white, made them clean. That's the robe of your life. Your heart. You wash. And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb. That's the only way that we can be cleansed or be clean or be delivered from a deceitful heart that is desperately wicked, that is incurable. So Isaiah 1 verse 16, wash you and make you clean. And put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. And plead for the widow. Come now. When do you do it? No delay. It's a right now thing. Come now. There's no other way. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Hallelujah. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, the verse says, where is that verse says that the whole head was sick. I'll show you the state and the, go to verse 5. The state and the condition of man, the depravity, human nature, the heart of a man. How far we fell in sin. Verse 5. Why should he be stricken anymore? He will revolt more and more. Why? Why do we revolt more and more? We try to come to God, but you cannot on your own. Because it's not in man that walketh to direct his step, or can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leper his spot. I mean, that Ethiopian decide that I'm going to wash by myself, take soap and whatever, and become white. No, he cannot change his skin by his own washing. Or the leper, you know that leper has all those spots, and the leper decide I'll just brush them off. No. No more than you and I can cleanse and change our ways. No more can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leper his spot. If they could do that, then you and I might be able to wash ourselves and make it clean, presentable to God. But you cannot. No more than they can change their spots or the color of their skin. It's only the blood of Jesus. Amen. So it said, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so God is calling and saying, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. And though they be red as crimson, I will make them smooth as wool. Yeah. And verse 6 now here. In verse 6 says, it tells you. I just touched verse 5, where the whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. All of the human race fell in sin. All of sin. From Adam, the head, right down to the last human being. All have sinned. And come short of the glory of God. The whole head is sick. Right down to the sole of the feet. There's no soundness. But just wounds and bruises and petrifying stores. He says, from the sole of the foot. Look at that. Even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds. Well, we've been wounded, haven't we? Yes. But that's why Christ came to bind up the wounds. That's why Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. The whole head is sick. There is no soundness in it. And that's why it's not in man that walketh to direct his step. Nothing you did or you can do. Nothing you can do, you and I can do, that can bring us closer to God. It's only the work of the cross. It's only the work that Jesus did on the cross. He came. And by the washing of regeneration and, it says, renewing of the Holy Ghost. The whole head is sick. And the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head. There is no soundness in it. But wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, notice, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You know when a wound is open and has never been closed. Putrefying sores, and you know what I'm saying. Never been closed up. The breach from the fall has never been closed up. It could not be closed until Jesus came and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive. Only Jesus Christ could bind up the wounds. And he stopped the breach. Yes. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He anoints us. That's why he gave us the anointing, the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on. He says, come on now, down further. Let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Wash you, in verse 16. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn. See, you have to be taught. This poor man cried unto the Lord. And he heard me. He brought me up out of an horrible pit. And set my feet upon a rock. And established my goings. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, when? Right now, said the Lord. Let us reason together. Reason, what are you trying to talk about? The word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Here is the reasoning point. Let us reason together. He gave us his word. He reasons with us. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, I will make them as wool. Now, notice, but there's something that you have to do. You have to be willing. And that's why you need to pray, oh God, make me willing. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Because you and I, by our heart will not come to God. It's not in man that walketh to direct his step. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. None of us desire God. Or we can come to God on our own. Nobody can come to the Father or come to Jesus unless he's drawn. Nobody can come. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. The good works don't get us to God. It's the work of the cross. It's the work of Jesus. It's what Christ did for us on the cross. It's not what you did or what I do. It's the work of Christ, because all of sin. And we've come short of the glory of God. But God has laid upon Christ our sins and our iniquity. And now he's calling us, come now. Not when you're ready, but when the Holy Ghost touch you. Come now, right now, said the Lord, the Spirit of God, and let us reason together. You've got to sit down, take the word of God, hear the word of God, and open up to the word of God, and let God touch you by his word. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, only God can do something about it. Verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red like crimson, they shall be as smooth as wool. But if you be willing, there it is, a willingness. And obedient. Come on. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And what is the good of the land? It's not corn and beans. But the good of the land was 2,000 years ago, he came. The good of the land is when Jesus Christ came. And he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. I'm the bread that if any man eat this bread, he shall live. And drink this water, he shall live. Because my flesh is bread, meat indeed. And my blood is drink. If you're good and obedient, you're going to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus Christ, the Word and the Spirit. But you have to be obedient. When does he say, come now? the last days of the feast, when Jesus lifted up his voice and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." This spake he of the Holy Ghost. And Isaiah 55 said, "Why do you spend your money for something that's not bread? It's not profitable. Why? When God has enough and to spare. When in my Father's house are bread and to spare." Yes. But you've got to come and you've got to eat the good of the land. The good word. But if you refuse and rebel, he shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. See, you've got to obey the Lord. And God's touching your heart. It's the heart. And as we go into this lesson, you'll find out the heart. And why David cried out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Have you ever wondered why David cried out? Turn quickly to Psalms. Go back where we were. Psalms 51. David cried out, says, "Have mercy on me." We've touched that. "Wash me." See the same word, wash me? Huh? Like Isaiah, wash me, Revelation, and they wash their robes. You've got to be willing and obedient. You've got to get this washing. You have to get this anointing. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge." Do you get that? Don't cover them up. The worst thing you can do is cover. Here. You sidetrack and you cover. Get before God and spit it out. Don't hide it. Confess your sins to the Lord. Get down. Repent. "Have mercy on me, O God." He says, "I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins is ever before me." But you can get rid of them. Confess them. "Against thee," notice, "and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold," you want to know your sin? You want to know the state of your condition and how we enter this world? "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth." What? "Thy word is truth. The good of the land. You will eat the good of the land." That's the word. "Thou desirest truth in your soul," the inward part, the spirit, the inward part of man, "and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." You see what you need? Do you understand the work that needs to be done in our lives? You can't afford to stop serving God amiss. I mean, just going to natural school didn't give it to you. Our natural education. Don't stop there. Because that man is totally sick, depraved, corrupt, wounded, filled with wounds and bruises and putrefying sore. In other words, it's incurable sick. And you don't want to trust into a nature, human nature, human heart that is incurable sick. You want to trust in the living God. So where was I? Seven. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me," listen to this, "make me to hear, joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy and gladness, that the bones, that's the relationship, the bones, which were broken in the fall, that thou was broken may rejoice. That Adamic nature, he has to bring us all out of that and mend the relationship between God and ourselves. Hide thy, he said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. You know God can do it? How? By the blood, through the blood. Verse 10. Then look what he does. Everybody watching now? What does he do? Create. So, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Create in me. Right there inside of you. Here's what he does. Here's what he does. He doesn't repair your whole heart. He doesn't do that. He doesn't repair the old Adamic heart. He has to create a new one. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Create in me what?
A clean heart.
Oh God. That means if he creates a clean heart, he creates a new nature. So if he creates a new heart, he has to give you a heart like the heart of the Son of God. Like the heart of God. He has to take away the old one. And give you a new one. You know why we go through all these struggles and we like to do good and I can't seem to get anywhere? It's because that whole nature, that old heart is still in charge. And it's deceiving us. You ever feel like you're not going to do it? You end up doing it. You're not going to say that anymore? You're not going to walk like that anymore? But you end up doing it. You turn over a new leaf? It's not a new leaf. It's a new heart.
Yeah.
It's not when New Year's come we turn over a new leaf. It's right now. Come now, said the Lord. And let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as smooth as wool. Right now. Today. Right now. Verse 10 says, create in me. Do you understand what kind of a work that has to be done right now? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Oh, Jesus, within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know why? You know why? Because human nature cannot enjoy the presence of God. Can't. You want to get out, want to run out, want to give it up. Rather be somewhere else. Human nature. Human nature doesn't want it. The natural man cannot please God. The natural man doesn't want God. It's the new man. When David said, my soul thirsteth for God, it's the new man. And that's what David crying out. He wanted to be recreated, rebirth, reborn. You must be born again.
Yeah.
A new heart means you're born again. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit, the Holy Ghost. Then when you do all this, notice, it's God working you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue, my what? My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Now, who is the righteousness of God? Jesus. It's his righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but his righteousness. We put on righteousness, his righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, Christ, righteousness. He's the righteousness of God. That's what we are to be clothed with. Put off the old man. Put off the old man with his work and be clothed with the new man. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. He is the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. See, there's got to be a change in our hearts. Your heart has to cry out. Give me a new heart. Create in me a new heart. And God replied, God says, yes, I'll give you a new heart. Here, begin to wind it down, says verse 15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifices, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken. Are you broken? Look at it. Here's what God wants. Put this on the altar. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. What are those? Praise, worship, glory. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Do you see that repentance turning? Now notice what David was praying for. David found out and realized that I was born in sin and shaping in iniquity. My mother conceived me that way. That was a nature that I inherit at birth or from conception. There's no way out of that. You could try, the heart deceive you. You turn over a new leaf, you can't get out. The only way out is through Jesus Christ. But notice that this nature has to die. You cannot have both. This nature had to die. The first nature, Adam nature, Adamic man, had to die, that the nature of God would live or be in you. All right, here's what God did. The angels that sinned, he left them alone. He didn't change your heart. He didn't reach out for them. There was no blood. He left them alone. He bound them in chains. And he left them in their sins. They cannot get out. But when you and I, when man sinned, he never left us alone, but he came down. He took not upon himself the nature of angel. He bypassed that and he took on the seed of Abraham. Amen. Born of a woman. He had to come to us. We couldn't go to him. He brought a divine nature, a new nature, his nature from God to us. He became flesh. Hallelujah. The word came to us. He never went to angels. He bypassed them and left them in chains of darkness. But to you and I, he came bringing light and life and immortality to light through the gospel. He came down and made a way of escape. And the way is through his flesh. That veil of his flesh was rent that we could approach the mercy seat. He made a way of escape by taking our nature and nailing it to the cross and giving us his nature. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. That's what God did for you. That's what Jesus did for you. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. Imagine now, the angels are still, the ones that fell, still in their sins. There is no way out. But you and I have a way. Jesus is the way. He's the way back from the fall. The angel's sin, he never lifted them up. But you and I, he reached down his hands. Mercy. Reach down for you and I. Mercy reached down for us. The cross spells mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a God. What a wonderful God. Can you fathom that love of God that he did for you when he reached down? This was no ordinary thing. It was God became man that we might become sons of the living God. David was right. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And one more scripture. We pick it up and we'll continue for a while. But in Jeremiah 24, look at that. In the 24th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 7? Look at Jeremiah 24, verse 7 says, and I will what? I will what? Who's going to do it? God. Here's what he did. Now, remember now, the whole head is sick. There's no soundness but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores. It was sick. There's nothing you could do. It cannot be repaired, cannot be built on. It was over. But what did he do? What did he do? He didn't repair it. But he reached down and like the potter, he broke it. And made a new vessel. What did he do? He broke it. And made a new Adam. A new man. With a divine nature. So he took away our fallen nature. And gave in place a new nature. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Whole things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I will give them, here's what he did. I will give them a heart to know me, knowledge. That I am the Lord and they shall be my people and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. That's what he does. He taketh away the old one. That he may establish the new one. I will give them a new heart. So it's not the old heart, the old deception, deceitful heart, but it's a new one. A heart like the heart of God. A heart after God. A heart to know God. A heart to obey God. A heart to love God. I will give them a new heart. So David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May God do it for us today. Amen.